So hear the word. Exodus. Little different twist on Palm Sunday. You know, the word is the word. So if you came looking for a Palm Sunday sermon, happy Palm Sunday. Now hear the word. Exodus chapter 17, beginning verse number 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. And after their journey, according to the commandments of the Lord, they pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide you with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirst there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." The Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord amongst us or not?" Amen. Is the Lord amongst us or not? That's what I want to talk about. This occasion was that of the Hebrew people who had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And they had been praying and praying and praying to God for a deliverer. And finally the Lord heard their prayer and called this murderer named Moses and told Moses to go to Pharaoh. How many of you are glad that God can use imperfect people? Yeah. You know, if it was left up to some of us, we'd have to, you know, we look for perfection. But if you look for perfection, you're never going to find it except in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So God called this guy by the name of Moses, who was a fugitive from justice. Sort of like a gentleman down in Florida, a fugitive from justice. I just thought I'd throw that in. So he called Moses and told Moses to go to Pharaoh and talk to Pharaoh, and Moses did. And you know the story. Moses leads the Hebrew children across the Red Sea and then out into the wilderness, out into the desert. And these children of Israel, for what should have been a 40-day journey, took 40 years. How many of you know that murmuring can slow you down? How many of you know that whining, anybody ever had a whiner in your family? A whiner can rob you of your energy and rob you of your passion and can slow you down. It should have taken you 3 years to get the mortgage. It ended up taking you 14 years because you have a whiner in your family, in your life. And so Moses leads these children of Israel, and they're journeying through the wilderness, and they're journeying through the desert on their way to the promised land. Thanks be to God that God doesn't usually work in groups. Let me see if I can make this plain. God usually calls a leader. Because, you know, if we had to get a consensus of everybody in here before we decided to paint the walls, we'd never have the walls painted. Can I get a witness in here? God chooses a leader. He chooses a man. He chooses a woman, somebody to lead. And whenever God chooses someone to lead, you've got to have someone who's got a little bit of patience. Because, you know, people can get on your last nerve. In Jesus' name. So God calls Moses, and Moses leads the people, and doing a little research, they're on their way to the promised land. Moses sets out the vision. Moses talks about, you know, a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses talks about living in houses that you never built. Moses paints this picture of a great future. And thanks be to God. How many of you know a great picture of the future is worth a thousand words? Because when you're living in hell, it's good to have a picture of what could be and how God can change your situation and how God can bless you. And you need a vision so that you will try harder and pray harder and struggle harder and study harder. Do I have a witness in here? That's why students go to school, because they want to do better in their lives. Isn't that right, students? Every parent that I know, every parent wants their child to do better than they are doing. Do I have a witness, parents? And so we have to paint a picture for our children. You can be president of the United States. You can be a principal. You can be the superintendent of school. You can be a judge. You can be a preacher. You can be an astronaut. You can be whatever you want to be. But let me tell you something. When you have that vision, get ready for some detours. You're going to have to do some time in Rephidim. Rephidim is that place where they were going to the promised land, and they had to make a rest stop. Anybody know what I'm talking about by rest stop? Anybody ever drive to Georgia? Drive to Georgia, you have to rest somewhere along the line. And the rest stops. The rest ain't nothing bad as getting to a rest stop and find the bathroom is closed down. Get to a rest stop in the bathroom. And come on, women, I know you can testify to this. You get to a rest stop and the bathroom is dirty. Well, they were on their way to the promised land, and they had already had two rest stops, Dorcar and Alush. I read this in Numbers chapter 33, verses 11 and 12, that two rest stops that they had stopped at before they got to Rephidim. And in Rephidim, they were expecting to find some water. They were expecting to find refreshment. They were expecting to find restoration. And they got to Rephidim, and they found out there was no water. How many of you know, sometimes when you are planning something, it doesn't work out the way you plan for it to work out? Sometimes you got to learn how to deal with a setback. And sometimes a setback is a setup for God to do something unusual in your life. But you've got to learn how to trust Him and wait on Him and know that Reverend Hilton, He can work it out. So they got down there to Rephidim, and they were expecting water, and there was no water. And they started murmuring. Sound familiar? Every church I've ever been to, somebody going to murmur sooner or later. Not only every church, any group that you're a part of. Do I have a witness? Anything you're a part of, somebody's going to whine. Somebody's going to murmur. But you can't let the whiner stop you. So Moses there, they start talking about, we would have been better off in Egypt. Why are you going to bring us out here in the middle of the desert? And we're going to die. Our children are going to die. No water. At least when we were slaves in Egypt, we had water to drink. How many of you know that it's a terrible thing to look back on your past and think it's better than your future? How many of you know ain't nothing good about slavery? I don't care what you do in slavery. I don't care how much food you have. I don't care how much water you had to drink. Ain't nothing good. I'd rather have freedom and not have enough water and trust God than to be in slavery with a well in the front of me. So Moses, he calls, he says, when he says, in that 17th verse, I like the way he put it, after the whiners and the moaners started talking to him, he says, "What shall I do unto this people?" He didn't say, "What am I going to do with these people?" What shall I do unto these people? How many of you know every now and then when people start whining, you want to do something to them? And it's not necessarily holy. Do I have a witness in here? At least you want to tell them, "Shut up. Tired hearing your whining. You don't even come to a meeting. You don't even pay your tithes. You hardly come to church. And you're going to be moaning and whining and muttering. Get a grip." Thank you for letting me say that, Jesus. So Moses says, he takes it to God. He doesn't say it to the people. You know, sometimes you can say things to God you can't say to the people. He said, "Lord, what shall I do unto these people that you gave me?" Now, I added that part. And God says, "Go ahead of them." How many of you know you can't be a leader and hang out with folk all the time? You got to separate. You know, I don't drink with my congregation. I really don't party with my congregation. I don't party that much at all. But I ain't going to party with my congregation. You got to separate. Not that I'm better than, but you got to separate yourself. So God says, separate yourself from the people. Go ahead of them. And God says, take the rod. The other thing he says, take some of the elders with you as you go ahead. How many of you know you can't take everybody with you? Everybody is not ready to go with you. He says, take some of those who've been through something. Take some of those who've sacrificed. Take some of those who've tithed. Take some of those who prayed. Take some of those who've been down and then the Lord picked you up. Take some of those who've been sick and the Lord healed. Take some of those who have had difficulty in their lives and then go ahead of the crowd. Then I like this part. Gets down to that verse that I just read to you. Because the people had such difficulties. They come across the Red Sea. The Lord had fed them with bread, manna from heaven. How many of you know things can get so bad in the present, you forget what the Lord has done in the past? I know you say, I ain't never going to forget what the Lord done in the past. Let your unemployment run out. Let somebody walk out on you and you got a kids all by yourself. Get to the point where you don't have any health insurance anymore and you've been diagnosed with cancer. Get to the point where you are losing you lost your house 2 years ago and now you can't even pay your rent. So you begin to ask the question, is the Lord with us or not? Anybody ever ask that question? And you need, when you are coming up against it, you need to go to a church where hopefully there'll be a leader in there that says, "The Lord is amongst us. The Lord is amongst us." Because in this text, God says to Moses, take the stick in your hand, the same stick that you put out over the Red Sea and out part of the Red Sea. Take that stick and hit a rock and water will come out of the rock. Sometimes God wants us to know, even though you can't see that there's water on the rock, there's what God has hidden the blessing under a rock. And sometimes you need to know that you are that rock. You may be the answer to somebody else's prayer because God has put hidden something in you that other folk need to be delivered. So you come this morning. Some people, you look good, but there's some people going through stuff. And they come this morning and they wonder, is God amongst us or not? I got some good news for you. He's here. Look at somebody and say, yes, he is. He's amongst us. He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. He's bread when I'm hungry. He's water when I'm thirsty. He's a healer. He's a way maker. God is amongst us. He causes us to get up this morning. God is amongst us. God is living. God is alive. I thanks be to God that He is amongst us. Then, in that text, they had been at Rephidim. And they had had a bad season in their lives. How many of you recognize, you know, we can handle a bad minute in our lives. But when it's a bad season, when everything goes bad, when the goldfish die, the dog dies, the cat dies, can't get the grass to grow, no job, no joy, no, and you feel like God doesn't know your name. And then, in Rephidim, this was the first time they had all these bad experiences with not having enough. Didn't have enough water, did not have enough food. And then, they are attacked by their first enemy. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've been journeying in the wilderness. They didn't have any food to eat. They didn't have any water to drink. The kids are screaming. The wives are complaining. You know, the elders of the church are complaining. Moses, you brought us out here. You claim that you've been talking to God. I don't believe God brought us out here in this desert. I just think you had a hallucination. And here we are out here starving. I got to deal with my complaining wife. I got to deal with my whining kids. And here we are out here in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, after hearing all this stuff, an army attacks. And Moses says, oh my God. What next? Have you ever been in one of those situations? What next? And not only does an army attack, Moses really doesn't have a very sophisticated army. He just got a bunch of farmers. He just got a bunch of whining farmers. But he does have one general named Joshua. So he says to Joshua, take a few of our men and go out in the battle. Now, Joshua was an obedient soldier and general. He takes a few of the men out there. And while Joshua goes out to fight the battle, Moses is up on a hill with his hands up. He wasn't, I guess you could say, he was saying, I surrender. But I surrender to the power of God. It's not that I give up. It says, how many know it's a difference in giving up and surrendering? When you put your life in His hand, He can make something out of it. So Moses is out there with his hands up, and all day long as Moses' hands were up in the air, the Hebrews were winning. How many of you, you know, I do yoga. And so, you know, you got these poses, you got to hold your hand up. But, you know, you get tired. I mean, I'm in decent shape. I'm better off than I was 2 years ago when I started. But you out there holding your hands up, you get tired. You need somebody to prop you up. That's why you got, hopefully, good officers in your church. Good deacons, good chairman of the trustee and deaconess. Somebody that can hold your hands up when you get tired. Because what the pastor needs to be doing is interceding on behalf of those who've got to fight the battle. And we may not be fighting in an army, how many of you know, but we got a battle on our hands. We got to fight. We got to fight injustice. We got to fight our personal problems. We got to fight alcohol. We got to fight drug addiction. We got to fight bad relations. You need somebody with their hands up interceding on your behalf. So look at somebody and say, I'm a winner. No matter what the world say, I'm a winner because I got a pastor praying for me. I'm a winner. I'm a winner because I got somebody holding my pastor's hands up. They're praying for him, praying for my leader. I'm a winner. I don't know what you're going through, but I thank God for the intercessory prayer ministry too. That's a part of keeping my hands up. Now there's a difference in keeping my hands up and tying my hands. Do I have a witness in the house? But to keep your hands up, as long as Moses has his hands up, they are winning the battle. I heard somebody on Sunday, on Wednesday, I think it was, when I started talking about this march that we're going to have. Somebody on the back row back there passed out the flyers. Somebody said, well, why we got to have a march in Hackensack? That's down in Florida. I don't see why we got a march here. That, look at somebody said, that's tying hands. That's a negative attitude. You just don't understand what you're talking about. It could be your cousin that was killed down in, could be your son that's vacationing down in Sanford. And you to talk about, you know, I don't see you. Well, you don't see, but I want you to know that it's my son and your son and it's and anybody's son that in America we have the right to travel and we have a right to life and the pursuit of happiness. Whether we are black or white, rich or poor, we have a right. I need somebody praying for me saying, go ahead, Pastor, let's march for justice. Go ahead, Pastor, let's make a difference. Go ahead, Pastor, let's stand for justice. Go ahead, Pastor, let's stand for those young boys that's being murdered in the streets of America. Go ahead, Pastor. Need a bunch of whining, murmuring folk who ain't never been a march anywhere. Then again, something we don't talk about. Our sons are just as dead whether a white person kills them or a black person. We got too much black on black crime. I mean, we're living in a time now where it's almost like the Wild Wild West. I got a gun. You got a gun. I feel like you about to shoot me. So I'm going to shoot you first. That's sick. We've come too far to be doing that kind of craziness in 2012. Stand your ground. What about standing on hope? What about standing on peace? What about standing on justice? I don't know. Some of you might be in that National Rifle Movement. I ain't got no problem with you owning a gun. But I do have a problem with you acting on your feelings. Because you feel like. I mean, let's face it, if we acted on every feeling we had, we're better than that. Do I have a witness? You can't act on every feeling you have. Things are so bad in our country now. The environment of hatred. The environment of divisiveness. The environment of meanness. And then, don't let's forget the young boy that was killed in Garfield. We talk about Sanford. What about Garfield? And we cannot excuse black on black crime either. I'd rather for you to put on the boxing gloves than to shoot somebody. You want to be a hero? Here, put these on. Slug it out. And then I'll come along with prayer and Makura comb. Better luck next time, Joe. But you go home to mama, you go home, and you lick your wounds. It's God. They were in such a bad place. They were in such a bad place. They said, is God amongst us or not? And so you came here today. You didn't come here just to get palms. You didn't come here just to hear me. You didn't come here just to see me. You didn't come here just to show off your new weave. You didn't come here just to show off your new dress. You didn't come here just to show off your new car. You came here with a question on your mind. Is there a word from the Lord that'll help me to live in this mean and unfriendly world? And And I have a word for you. Yes, he is amongst us. 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 Yes, he is alive. Yes, he is amongst us. No matter how bad it gets, I try my best not to be a whining preacher. Every time you get up, just whining. Now, you might think I am, but I try not to. Maybe the reason you think I'm whining is just I'm whining that Sunday when you come. I don't want to hear a bunch of whining. That's why I'm not sure. You know, I do want some grandchildren. You know, I'm 61. But I don't know if I want them staying with me. I'm not sure I'm ready for that. 2 weeks, go home. I'm not sure I can handle them. I mean, I've been through that. I think the whining is for young people. I mean, I did it. Moses asked, they were whining. Moses asked, what shall I do unto these people? And the Lord says, first of all, obey me. Obedience. The Lord is amongst us. And even though it looks bad in America, it looks like justice is delayed, stay on the case. Looks like, you know, they're never going to arrest him. Stay on the case. Thank you, Al Sharpton. Stay on the case. Thank you, CNN. Stay on the case. Thank you, leaders all over America. Stay on the case. Thank you for those who are having march is in Selma and in whatever. And thanks be to God, even in Hackensack. Stay on the case. Thank you, Reverend Walton, for the march you had in Englewood. Stay on the case. I don't know how long it's going to take, but justice will be done. I don't know when they're going to arrest him, but I just believe that justice is going to be done. And I don't know, you might get tired of hearing about it, but justice is going to be done. I know you're sick and tired of seeing it on TV, but justice is going to be done. Imagine it was your son. Justice is going to be done. Wait on the Lord and wait and see what the Lord is going to do. And while you're waiting, do something about it. You and I need to be out there marching. I know some, I probably have said it myself. You know, some people say, well, you know, the day of marching is over. Well, the day of injustice is not over. We do need a constructive way to demonstrate our displeasure. You can't go out there with no Molotov cocktail. Oh, you shouldn't. And we don't want our sons and our daughters taking the law into their own hands. We're not talking out of both sides of our mouth. I do not ever want to live in America again where somebody can cut off my foot and then dare me to holler. At least you ought to let me say, ouch. So on this Wednesday, during this Holy Week, during this week of parades, during this Hosanna week, when people will be marching, you know, Via Della Rosa, when Jesus was going to Jerusalem and he had the crowd going down the street, it's important for us to also get up in the street and also to tell our story and to tell our displeasure. And you might not, who knows when the next time you may have an opportunity to stand up and walk. And if you can't walk, then you can just take a ride in the car and meet us at the courthouse steps. Everybody's not able to march, but if you can't do that, at least you can pray. And if you can't do that, at least you can stop murmuring folk from talking about, I don't think they should do that. Maybe you can just say, you ought to hush. Because if it hadn't been for Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and others like that, you wouldn't have that little job that you have right now. You wouldn't be living in that little house that you live in right now. We're looking for justice. We're not looking for blind justice. We're not looking for white justice. We're not looking for black justice. We're just looking for justice. Is God amongst us? He's amongst us because he lives in you. And he lives in me. I remember as a boy hearing Adam Clayton Powell preach that sermon. What's in your hand? Remember that? Some of you are old enough to remember. What's in our hand? Everybody got something in their hand. The Word of God. What does the Lord require of you? To love mercy, to do justice, and to walk